You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Thursday, the day after an incredibly disappointing Pelicans loss, 105-102 on the road to the Memphis Grizzlies. And though they scored 102 points, a pretty putrid Pelicans performance, I think, is probably the best way to put it. I was so frustrated with this loss last night that I didn't actually record the podcast then, needed to kind of sleep on it, because otherwise I'd probably be just screaming into the microphone last night. So we're going to talk about this game. That's probably going to take the first and second segments as we then kind of transition to the rest of the team there. Before taking a quick look around the NBA standings as a whole, particularly in the Western Conference, because there was a very real opportunity here for the Pelicans last night that they completely squandered. So we'll look at all of that and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by MyBookie.ag. So yes, the Pelicans were without Anthony Davis last night, but frankly, as I wrote the other day over at LockedOnPelicans.com, the team's motto needs to be no excuses at this point. That doesn't matter. There's enough talent here to have beaten Memphis, as evidenced by how close the final score was, 105-102, so a three-point loss. But frankly, when I tell you that the Pelicans were beaten by Tyreek Evans scoring 28, who's played incredibly well over the past couple of weeks, so it's not necessarily a surprise there, but still, Drew Holiday can lock him down. Marc Gasol scored 21. You had Andrew Harrison, their other starting guard. Do you guys even know who that is? Put up 11. Jermichael Green put up 20. You had guys like Mario Chalmers putting up 9. And then Brandon Wright, who's been in the league forever, scoring 8 points. It's just overall, this effort wasn't there to try and contain these guys. I'm going to relate it to a situation in a little bit here on the podcast, but look, the Pelicans had an 11-point lead at one point in the first quarter, and then things really swung poorly. And when you look at some of these lineups, you can kind of see why. So the initial reaction is to point to the bench here and say they were terrible, because when you look at the individual plus-minuses, and if you didn't watch the game, it's going to kind of give you that impression, but that really isn't the case here. Etuan Moore had a plus-minus of 10. So your starters, let's go starters through it here. Rondo had a plus minus of positive 7. Holiday was plus 6. Cousins plus 4. Dante Cunningham, who started in the place of Anthony Davis, minus 12. And Etuan Moore had plus 10. So the starters look good. And then you see guys like DeAndre Liggins, who was signed to a 10-day contract literally yesterday. So mark that off on your Pelicans bingo card of Pels signed a guy to a 10-day contract, and he plays in the first quarter of that night's game. DeAndre Liggins in 11 minutes was minus 18. Omer Asik in 6 minutes, minus 9. Jameer Nelson in 7 minutes, minus 11. Ian Clark in 20 minutes, minus 6. So the bench looks bad here, and they do, and they played poorly too. So there's no surprise there. But again, that doesn't really tell you the story, because if you didn't watch the game, that's what you're going to kind of take away from this, and that wasn't the case. The Pelicans' starting lineup of Rondo, Holiday, Cousins, Cunningham, Moore actually finished on the night, and I've told you guys I don't like individual plus minus. I like lineup plus minus. Looking at 5 guys on the court together and their plus minus in a game, that starting lineup of Rondo, Holiday, Cousins, Cunningham, Moore was minus 7 on the night in 15 minutes. Minus 7. That started to come after the Pelicans had an 11-point lead, and it got whittled away with that. Gentry went with a bench unit that was equally as crap, I guess, and that was the Liggins, Asik, Nelson, Clark, Miller lineup. All 5 of those guys were out there for a four-minute stretch together. They were minus 6 in those 4 minutes, and that gave the Memphis Grizzlies a 2-point lead. So that's where this kind of swung and turned, and eventually the Grizzlies built an 11-point lead, and it took a flurry of 3-pointers quickly towards the late in the fourth for the Pelicans to get back in it. 3-pointers, by the way, which haven't been falling for this team. And the Pelicans went 11 of 35 on the night, 31.4%. It's just not good enough. I don't know what's going on there, but when they shoot 35 three-pointers in the game, when they're not making them, you know, you still have DeMarcus Cousins who you can get down low. And this isn't even talking about the final play, which we will discuss in a minute here. New Orleans scored 30 points in the paint. Even without Anthony Davis, you think they want to just score 30 points in the paint when they're used to scoring close to 50-plus? Memphis scored 50-plus last night because their guys were getting to the rim and doing everything they wanted to very easily like that. Memphis also had 16 second-chance points because they were grabbing offensive rebound after offensive rebound, kind of, particularly in key moments in the fourth quarter when the Pelicans desperately needed to get a stop. They couldn't. 14 offensive boards for the Memphis Grizzlies, 6 of them going to Jamichael Green. Look, I actually kind of like him. He's not horrible, but at the same time, someone should be able to take him off of the boards. This game was so bad all around that it featured a quarter where both teams combined to score 26 points. The third frame, Memphis won 17-9. 17-9. The Pelicans put up 9 points in the third quarter. Again, you want to point to the bench and say they played terribly overall. Well, in the third quarter where the Pelicans put up 9 total points, you had Rondo play 9.5 minutes, Holiday play 9.5 minutes, Cousins play 9.5 minutes, Cunningham played 7, and Etuan Moore played almost 11 minutes in that frame. Combined, so that lineup, I don't have it exactly here. That's also where some of this, everything just kind of went away. 9 points in a quarter. That starting lineup, they were -7, -6, -5, -9, -5. Come on. When you have Holiday Cousins out there, no matter what, you should score more than 9 points in a quarter. The Pelicans went 1 for 10 from deep in that frame, 4 of 18 from the field. They took basically, 8 non-3-pointer attempts during that stretch. That's terrible. When that's not working, you need to try and find other ways to score, and the Pelicans did it. In the third quarter, Cousins took 3 total field goal attempts. 2 of them were threes. Didn't score a point. You think that's okay? That starting lineup in there scored 7 of the 9. That's terrible. I'm sorry. It's as simple as that. So as I said in the article I wrote earlier in the week, this is no excuses time for the Pelicans. Don't make any for them yourselves. They should be better than this. It's that simple. Again, 9 points in a quarter. No excuses. Oh, the bench is bad. No, it doesn't matter. The coaching wasn't there. Everyone is to blame for this loss. So before I talk about the final play of the game, look, the NFL playoffs are finally here. The Saints are getting deep into it and play at Minnesota. And I want to tell you guys about mybookie.ag, the number one rated online sportsbook. With your fantasy football season over, the only way to use your sports knowledge to win cash is by betting at mybookie, the sportsbook that makes it easy to deposit and even easier to cash out your winnings fast. They have live odds on everything, live in-game betting, and an all-new prop builder. Create your own bet slips and bet how you want. You bet your friends that LeBron will score 30-plus and have 10-plus assists. Why not bet it at mybookie.ag and put your money where your mouth is? You can even do that. Bet from anywhere, your desktop, your tablet, or with their world-class mobile site that lets you bet anytime, anywhere. And MyBookie offers the fastest, no-hassle payouts when you win. That's just as important, if not more important, than the odds you can get. If you can't get your money out of there, it does you no good. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus, but you have to use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's LOCKEDONNBA when making your account. Visit MyBookie.ag today and bet on the internet's favorite sportsbook where you win, you play, and you get paid. So let's talk about the final play, because this, I think, is particularly bad when you really look at it. Not really the final play, but basically the game, the play to end the game. With about 12 seconds left, the Pels were down 1 and had the ball, so a chance to get the final shot, win the game. And this is after Alvin Gentry called a timeout while the Pelicans were in transition and running down to get a potential game-winning score there. A lot of people are criticizing Gentry for that timeout. I actually think that's incorrect here. You want to give yourself the final shot to win it or lose it. You don't want to get that score in transition and give Memphis the ball back and a chance to score that way. With how the defense had been playing, that's likely not going to be the case, and you're going to lose that way. So at least you are in control kind of the end result of this game instead of it being out of your hands without the ball. So I'm cool with that. The rest of the play is not good, though. After an inbound, Cousins gets the ball at the top of the three-point line. You have Etwan Moore run in off the corner and almost seal his man down low right underneath the basket in the restricted area, but doesn't quite get the seal, and that's not a smart pass for Cousins to make, and he rightfully doesn't do that. As Etwan Moore kind of cuts in there, it leaves Darius Miller a little bit open on the perimeter for a three, with Gasol assigned to him. Gasol drops to also try and take away that cut from Moore and stays home enough on Darius Miller that if you make that pass to Miller for a three-pointer, it's potentially blocked or at least going to have a good closeout on it and be an issue. So Cousins is left with nothing to do but drive, and he puts the ball down, puts his head down like he does, and as often his drives from the three-point line end in a turnover. Gasol bodies him up, swipes the ball away, and that is that. And the Pelicans lose, they foul, Memphis hits some free throws, and the game is done. Even though they had a kind of a desperation three-point attempt that maybe wasn't the worst look, but still, obviously not going in, otherwise we'd have a different type of podcast today. So, that's the final play. There's a lot wrong with this. One, you know when Cousins drives, it ends like this, so I can't imagine that that's the play call. But when I watch this play again, I don't really know what the right call is. I don't know if it's to get that early seal on Etwan Moore as he cuts from the corner to right below the basket. I mean, I can't imagine throwing an inside pass, bounce pass to him right under the basket with a guy draped all over him is going to lead to a great shot attempt or the call that you want. Also, down one, I don't know if the call is for that three-pointer to be open to Darius Miller on the wing position there, because frankly, you don't need a three. You just need a two. Get the high percentage look inside. So obviously, this has got to be some kind of design for Cousins. The issue here is you don't want to put the ball in his hands that early on in the shot clock. Why, with when he doesn't have the handles of a guard, would you not let Rondo have it or Holiday have it during that time? Let them hold the ball and then get him in position out on the low block and let him score that way. Or take a jumper, or lob, or anything other than him holding the ball at the top of the three-point line for 6 seconds before he drives and turns the ball over. This is on everyone again. This isn't the greatest play call we've ever seen. I think we can all safely say that. This is also on the players for not executing, because I cannot imagine for sure, though we don't know entirely, that that was the play call that, hey, it was supposed to be him driving from the three-point line, because we know those don't end well at all. So I have no idea what went on this, and it was frankly just terrible all around. And also one of the reasons the Pelicans lost. I say one of the reasons because, as we've been talking about in this game, this is literally just on everyone. Again, Pelicans only turned the ball over 12 times, leads to 6 turnover points for the Memphis Grizzlies. That's perfect. It's what you want. That's what this team needs to do, and they can't capitalize on it against this Memphis team that was last in the Western Conference playoff race at 12-27. Well, they're now 13-27, with 2 of those wins coming against the New Orleans Pelicans. So after the game, you got the standard quotes from Alvin Gentry, saying that Memphis was more physical than the Pelicans were. He thought the Pelicans played well and played with a lot of energy, which is surprising to me because when you look at them, they absolutely were lethargic for the first half and only really woke up in the fourth quarter when Cousins decided he needed to try and pull this team back into it. So I did not watch the same game as Alvin Gentry did. But you heard the same normal things. And cool, great. Except this was a golden opportunity. We're going to talk about it in the next segment here, which we're going to hit after the reset in a moment. But also, the Denver Nuggets lost to the terrible Atlanta Hawks while Denver was at home. So that's a disappointing loss there for them. And listen to some of the quotes from their head coach, Michael Malone. The first thing he came out and said was, quote, "I'm not doing my job in getting this team ready to play." For all those people who say it's not a coach's job to motivate players, that's complete BS. It is part of their job. or it's their job to get them ready to take advantage of the other team, to prepare them. Malone comes out and says, I'm not doing that. Great. Malone also then goes on to say, we're going to stop using the word playoffs. That word should not be in our vocabulary. Pels, who have been solidly in a playoff spot all year, well, we'll talk about it in the next segment when we look at the standings. And then he goes on to say, he goes, I told our guys, you come out great versus Golden State, then you think you can win because the Hawks are 3-19 on the road. Well, guess what? They're 4-19 now. Again, that's what you see from this Pelicans team, that lack of effort, the feeling that they just think they're better than everyone else, that they're like the Golden State Warriors and they can just come in and roll over opponents where, well, we've seen they can't do that. I don't know if it's necessarily the sense of entitlement or they just think they're better or they believe in their talent too much. But holy shit, does this team need just a wake-up call when it comes to their attitude? Malone goes on to say, who are we to look down at anyone? We haven't been to the playoffs in 4 years. Pelicans haven't been to the playoffs in 3 years. And by the way, are kind of at danger of falling out of the playoff race right now. Malone goes on to say, it starts with me. It starts with me. All those people who say, hey, coach, doesn't matter as much or whatever, it's not going to change anything. Still, it does start with them. And Malone, who's considered a good coach, certainly seems to think it has to start with him. And then he went on to say he told the team, you're full of shit, and that's a quote, you're full of shit if you're talking playoffs right now. One, that is refreshingly honest for him to come out and say all of this stuff in a post-game press conference and hopefully, you know, wake up the players a little bit. It's kind of like what happened after Tulane lost to Memphis the other night, where Mike Dunleavy, after the game, came out and basically called his team soft to the media. Sometimes you got to wake these dudes up somehow. That's also called motivation. Maybe Gentry needs to take that approach rather than being like, yeah, they played hard. They didn't play hard enough because you lost to a team that at the time has 12 wins. Again, I'm not calling for a head coaching change. I don't personally care either way whether they do or not, as I don't think it will fix most of or any of the issues with the team. But change has to start somewhere, and there's too much talent on this roster to be complacent with how things are going right now. At 20-20, this team should be better than they are. It's as simple as that. Hey, don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com today, where our own Jason Quigley has a more optimistic take on the Pelicans, saying it's not entirely all doom and gloom, just partially doom and gloom, and definitely calls back to the Miami Heat of last year, who in the second half of the season went 30-11. So make sure you check that out if you need a bit of a refresher and get some perspective a little bit more on this Pelicans season so far. So before we wrap it up here at Locked On Pelicans, I want to take a look at the Western Conference standings, as I do once a week, because it gains some perspective and kind of gives an idea of the urgency that should be here with the Pelicans in the season of it, as Scott Kushner put it the other day, but has not seen it so far from the Pelicans. So let's take a look at the West, because the Pelicans really squandered a golden opportunity last night. Three teams ahead of them in the standings, Denver, who's in the 7th seed, OKC, who's in the 6th seed, and Portland, who's in the 5th seed, all lost. That would have put the Pelicans tied for the 7th seed with Denver and only a game out of potentially attaining the 5th seed from Portland. But they lost too. So all four of the teams in the bottom half of the Western Conference playoff race lost. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Clippers, who are without, by the way, four freaking starters in Blake Griffin, Patrick Beverley is out for them right now, Danilo Gallinari is out, and I'm blank. Oh, and Theodosic, I believe, is out for them. So four guys who are basically expected to be starters are out, beat the Golden State Warriors, and now they're only a game behind the Pelicans for the 8th seed. So the Pelicans are potentially looking at being out of the playoff race with another loss or two here, or at least not out of the race, but out of the standings currently. Look, Denver's struggling. All of the teams around the Pelicans are struggling. Clippers, as we just mentioned, their injuries are pretty insane. Utah's, who won, are still struggling a little bit. Denver lost badly to the Hawks team, as I gave you guys the quotes from their head coach, Michael Malone. OKC's been inconsistent, though they did go on a 6-game winning streak kind of recently. Portland plays, their offense is a mess, though, and I don't think their defense is going to be as good. But the Pels can't gain any ground on these teams despite all of those issues, where the Pelicans' biggest issue for the most part this year has been that Solomon Hill isn't there. That's it. They're not facing the injury crises that these other teams fully are. No one like Rudy Gobert has gone down for the Pelicans for an extended period of time. You've missed Davis for games here and there, but nothing quite like that. Nothing like what's going on to the Clippers. Not the team's maybe best offensive player going down like what happened for Denver with Paul Millsap. That's why this is also frustrating, is they should be gaining ground during this time. This was the easy stretch of schedule, and they haven't been able to do it. So the Pels are in the eighth spot and are potentially going to be the most depressing eighth seed in like the history of the NBA, in my opinion. But that's also because we cover the team here. Because frankly, look, if they had just lost to all the good teams and beaten all the bad teams, I think people would be cool with this Pels team being around a similar record or whatever they are. It's the up and down and the inconsistency that really kind of bug people out here, partially because it mainly seems that has to do with energy. And it's, again, not like they're just outmatched on talent and they're not good enough to compete, because they are good enough to compete, and they're good enough to compete on a very high level of basketball. That's the frustrating here. That's why fans are demanding more. That's why I'm disappointed and fans are disappointed. That's why all of this is a thing, because we know what their ceiling is and they're not coming anywhere close to reaching it. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans, depressing podcast today, yes, but kind of one we needed to have. I'm here for your group therapy. We'll probably do some of that tomorrow, maybe something like that, as we preview the game against Portland, a game the Pelicans really do need. Hopefully, Anthony Davis will be back for it. We'll have that preview. We'll take a look at the Tulane men's basketball team tomorrow as well, since they got a game against UConn coming up here in New Orleans on Saturday, which I will be at. Checking out my first game this season, probably my first basketball game since like undergrad almost, if I have to really think about it. Don't forget, like, subscribe, rate the podcast on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Follow it on social media at Locked On Pels and give it a like on Facebook. Just search Locked On Pelicans. All of that's important in key thing in keeping this free for you guys 5 days a week. No subscription model here where you need to pay. So thank you for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.